So in this beautiful Gospel of John, which we started a while back, the theme of John is to create faith in Jesus. But another way of looking at this in John is that this book could be called Jesus and People, that Jesus is interested in each one of us, no matter what's happening in our life. And it's beautiful looking in this Gospel to see Jesus coming alongside people, especially when they're most vulnerable. And I know that there are times in our own life when we appreciate this so much. So this is a rather delicate story in the Gospel of John. It is on one more occasion, however, where a group of religious people will, for some reason, decide to prey on an individual who is weak and vulnerable and in a complete mess and use this person for their own advantage. They wanted to abuse this person, this woman, and at the same time try to trick Jesus into doing something that they felt should have been done. Where the whole thing can be summed up this way. Nonsense. What a waste of time in using or abusing anyone. And what this story shares, at least to me, is how the one who created all things will come alongside us at our weakest moments, and he will stoop to our level, and he will stand beside us, and he will speak for us, even when we feel like we can't stand and we can't speak. He does this for us. It's an amazing story. I don't know if you've ever followed this or not, and it's probably something that none of us would ever want to follow, but there is something that still happens in this world called honor killings. And if there was ever an oxymoron, it has to be this: honor killings. And it has a lot to do with shame, where if a family feels like they have been shamed, that they can seek retribution. And I think one of the reasons why the story of the son, the prodigal son, who returns home, and the older brother has nothing to do with his younger brother, is because he feels like, the older brother feels like, that the younger brother has brought such shame on the family that he should never be allowed to come home. In fact, he can't figure it out how his father would greet his son and welcome him back. It was beyond comprehension. And that his father would actually throw a party to welcome this wayward person back home. He felt like this brought shame to the family. And he just felt like that young boy, that brother, should never be welcomed back. His name should never be spoken or ever mentioned again because of shame. But again, in the story, it's Jesus saying, I'll take your shame. And he did so in the most vulnerable way that anyone ever has. Think with me. Think with me. Jesus, who created all things, did something unique. And I just want to remind us of this. In John chapter 1, tells us about who Jesus is and was. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And it goes on and continues. But that's not the only time it talks about this in the Bible. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 1, it says this: In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom Jesus made the universe. Jesus, the Son, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God's being, sustaining things by his powerful word. And then also in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, he is the image, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And I'm just going to stop there, even though the scripture continues on and on and on. The very one who spoke the world into existence does something where the whole world at this particular time saw this as the most shameful act that could ever happen. And I'm talking about the crucifixion. Crucifixion was to bring total shame upon the person. It's where this person is stripped intellectually, emotionally, physically. Every part of that person is just exposed completely and totally. It was to bring shame upon that person. And Jesus took that shame. And there are a number of scriptures that talk about this in such a unique way. Paul talked about this. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation. He said, I'm not ashamed. The crucifixion brought shame. But he said, Jesus was shamed. A person can't be any more shamed than in their own crucifixion. It was total exposure in every way. And Jesus, the one who spoke all things into existence, took that shame. Or in Hebrews chapter 12, where he reminds us that let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, and who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm going to laugh at the shame. People will think that my crucifixion is a total annihilation of me, but I'm going to come out of this alive and forever. But there's something else in all of this story, and that is, I doubt that there is anyone here today who hasn't at one time or another felt shame. And Jesus can identify with you, and he comes alongside each one of us. So there's a couple of things in this that I think is unique. I really appreciated the scripture reading today. I thought it was powerful how that was presented. In this story, several times, it talks about Jesus bending down, how Jesus stoops with us. Now, let's just be reminded. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all seem very, very similar, but they're quite different in many ways. Even though it's the story of Jesus spoken four times, there's kind of a highlight of each one. There's a context in each one written. And John is letting us know all throughout the story, all throughout his gospel story, that Jesus is with us, that there's never been a moment that he hasn't been with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And he's with us in our joys. He's with us in our sorrows. He's with us in our strong times. He's with us in our weakest times. And here is this story. It says in this beautiful way, and let me just read this. It says in verse 5, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? And they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing Jesus. Whenever we use people for our advantage, we have just misused that person, and we have misused the life that God has given us. Isn't that right? We've come to be an encouragement, and Jesus demonstrates this. It says Jesus bent down, and then later it says, and Jesus stooped down. He comes to our level. And here is this woman, and in this story, the woman gets lost. Can you just picture her in her weakest moment, vulnerable, sad, feeling shame, people pointing at her, collecting stones ready to throw at her, and the one who created the universe comes along and stoops down beside her. But not only does he stoop down beside her, he stands up with her. He stoops with us, he stands with us. Have you ever stopped to ask yourself the question, what do I stand for? Maybe another question, who do I stand for? Because if we stand for Jesus, we stand for everyone. We stand for everyone. Remember, some of the most vile people in this world, their lives have changed completely. And they've given themselves to Christ. People like Paul, who was a murderer, an accuser, his total life changed. And for many of us, we know how often and how hugely our lives have also changed. So I look at scriptures that I used to read in a certain way, and I think I want to read something differently into them. In 1 Corinthians 15, brothers and sisters, he said, I want to remind you of this gospel which I preached to you, which you believed, on which you've taken your stand. Now, the gospel is a broad term, but Paul narrows it by saying the gospel is very simple. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he did all of that for us. So now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of this gospel, which you believed in and which you've taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firmly to those things I've preached to you, otherwise you believed in vain. For what I received from the Lord, I passed on to you as first importance, that Jesus Christ died for our sins. But wait a minute. But before he died for our sins, he demonstrated over and over and over again that he will stoop when we fall. He will stoop down beside us, his arms around us. Because in this story, not only did Jesus stoop, but he stood and he stood with this woman. I will speak for you. And let's face it too, that there are times in our life where we don't have any words. And Jesus says, it's okay. I'll speak for you. I always have. Listen to this passage. Speaking of Jesus. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one, Jesus, who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he is without sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we can receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And that mercy and that grace is Jesus himself, always beside us. And then, which is also very, very cool in this story, is that Jesus not only stoops and not only stands with us, but he does speak for us in a powerful way. And I was reading this passage this past week, which I thought was a very unique one. It's in Hebrews chapter 7, in verses 24 and 25. Listen to what the writer says in Hebrews. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. He always, always, always intercedes on our behalf. Always, not sometimes, always. So how often does he stoop with us? Whenever we stoop. And how often does he stand with us? Always. And how often does he speak for us? Always. Always. Is there ever a moment in any person's life here today where Jesus isn't with you? He's with us forever. And in this beautiful story, it's a reminder of there are times in our life when we have not stood the test of integrity. And Jesus says, I know, but I'm with you. And there are times of great joy and great happiness and great success and great fullness. And he's there with us too. And there are times when he's always reminding us, whether in our poorer times or in our successful times, he's always reminding us. And he speaks your name. Donnie, that person there can be encouraged. That person there needs some encouragement. That person there is very sad and lonely and vulnerable, needs your help. Donnie, remember what I've done for you, do for others. John's gospel is not a historical document. It's about having life in his name. So in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. He's not simply saying that when you die, you have life. He's saying, have life today. Have an everlasting life, an eternal life, a life that works, a life that makes sense by sharing this life with others, especially at their weakest moments. It's a beautiful story. It's a sensitive story. But doesn't that describe our lives? We sometimes write a beautiful story. We sometimes are in sensitive situations. But all throughout this, Jesus is with us and speaks with us. And because we know this, we then can reach out and help others. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being so open and sensitive to sharing with us at our weakest moments. We thank you for a powerful gospel story of John, relating the stories of Jesus, but showing us all of life, not just snippets, and how we can relate to each other. We're so grateful that you've gathered all of us together, that we can reach out to one another and be a support to one another. Help us to grow and help us to bring joy to the lives of others. Thank you for entrusting us with each other, with our families, with our friends, with all the children who are with us, that we can reach out to them as you reach out. Thank you for giving us encouragement this week to have an eye for people who are hurting and who are sensitive and maybe who are stooping. May we come alongside them and be the encouragement to them that you are to us. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.